Hello?
Liam?
I look at my phone, confused by the number showing on the display. Yeah? Who's this?
This is Betty Addison, your grandmother.
I pull the phone away again and look at the screen. Maybe I didn't hear her properly, but I swear she said grandmother. I only know my father's side of the family. My mother never talked about her parents. Okay, I say, not sure what else to add.
I'm in town this week, and I thought we could have lunch. There's a nice little cafe by your campus.
What do I have to lose? And it's free lunch. Sure, I say. We set the date and time to meet. We talk a bit more, and she asks that I hear her out before making any judgment calls as to why she's been absent for the last 18 years of my life. I agree. I'm nervous as I wait for her. My leg bounces. The same annoying habit I've picked up from Josie. When the chair in front of me pulls out and she sits down, I see an older version of my mother. Or what I envision my mom will look like.
It's so nice to finally meet you,
she says while studying my face. Conversation is awkward at first, as we get to know each other. But half an hour in, it's like I've known her my entire life. We sit and talk for hours. My grandma tells me she's an actress, but hasn't acted in years. When I ask about my mom and why they don't talk, she shows me a picture of Bianca. She's dressed as a starlet, holding a trophy. Betty says it's her Rising Star Award. She won it at 16. She never told me.
When she met your father, she gave up her dreams for his. I fought hard to make her see what she was doing. But your father was determined to have a trophy wife on his arm, and your mother would do anything to please him.
I sit and listen to my grandma tell me about a mom that I don't even know. The last thing Betty says to me that day is something I will never forget.
Follow only your dreams, Liam.
One phone call in a few hours changed my life, and it's questionable whether that change was for the best. I could be living happily with Noah now, raising him and coaching his football team. Josie would be my wife. I was going to marry that girl, and she knew it. Hell, our parents knew it, and mine hated it. They didn't like that Josie's parents didn't have the social status they did, and didn't belong to the stuffy country club. But I didn't care. That girl rocked my world. And I'm willing to bet she still does. I decide to clean Caitlin's truck. I don't want her messing with the broken beer bottles, and I certainly don't want the twins climbing in the back and cutting themselves. This is the least I can do for her after she's opened her heart and home to me. Last night, holding her, for the first time, I felt like I could belong somewhere. I could be me, without having to put on a show. Like Liam Westbury could exist again. But maybe this time I could combine him with Liam Page. Just as I finish sweeping up the glass and disposing of it, the alarm on my phone goes off. I know it's telling me that Noah's game is about to start, and I need to make a decision. Do I go and risk Josie getting pissed? Or do I go and show my boy that, while I may not be around, I do intend to keep my word? I make the only decision possible. My bike rumbles as I hit the starter, wishing I had kept the rental, or at least had my truck. I wonder if my parents kept my truck. I could go ask, but that means visiting, and I'm not so sure I'm ready to face them yet. I wasn't in Los Angeles 3 days, before my dad had my truck taken away. I'm sure Sterling and Bianca Westbury won't be so glad to see their straight-laced son show up on a motorcycle with his tattoos showing. But then again, maybe a trip to the country club is in order. The drive through town is becoming familiar. I used to dream of these streets at night, until my dreams just became hazy and convoluted. After a while, you just forget. You forget that old Lady Williams never takes down her Christmas decorations, even though the town begs her to do it. You forget that the whole town shuts down for Friday night football. People don't forget you, though, and what you've done, both on the field and off. When I pull up to the school, the bleachers are packed. The sound of my bike gets their attention, something I wanted to avoid. I take off my helmet and slide on my ball cap and fake eyeglasses. I'm sure the disguise isn't needed. But if I don't look like Liam Page, maybe they'll leave me alone. Caitlin waves to me from the stands. Her face looks sad. Josie is sitting next to her, but she doesn't look, and I'm okay with that. I haven't earned a wave or a smile from her. Yet. I avoid the bleachers, opting to stand against the old oak tree that has been on this field long before I was old enough to play here. I hear Nick on the side, calling out plays, and can see Noah when he takes center. I stand a bit taller when I see his number. He's wearing the same number I wore, 8. I swallow hard and clear my throat. I don't want to show any emotion, and I'm sure it's just coincidence. But what if it's not? Peyton comes over halfway through the game and hangs with me. She holds a football under her arm and is wearing cleats. I remind myself to ask Caitlin if she plays football. I can totally see Mason allowing his daughter to play. I'd ask her, but I don't want to give her any ideas. I laugh when she calls out plays or yells at the refs to flow a flag. As I watch her, I see so much of Mason in her and wonder how Caitlin is going to manage. I start to wonder about their financial situation and if there is any way I can help. I know Caitlin won't take a handout, but I'll figure something out. I don't want to see them struggle, and I have the means to help them. The final whistle blows and Noah is jumping up and down. I can't help but smile and feel a little bit proud, even though I didn't do any of it. Watching him out there lead his team at this young age, he's showing so much promise. I can only hope he'll be better than I was and actually follow through with college and his promises. I feel an ache in my heart when he comes running over to me, his helmet in his hand and his hair matted down with sweat. He looks like I did after a game.
You came?
He says it as if he didn't expect me to. I said I would. Sorry I was late. I had some things to do first.
No, that's okay. I'm just glad you got to see me play before you left town.
I was supposed to leave this morning, but promised Peyton football. Sunday is still a few days away, and I haven't checked in with Sam. She's expecting me tomorrow. I'll be here until the end of the week. Miss Peyton and I have a date on Sunday in front of her TV.
To watch football?
I nod.
Cool. Maybe I can come too?
I look at Peyton, who eyes Noah. That would be up to Peyton. Maybe you guys should talk about it. Noah looks at Peyton and smiles. She rolls her eyes. I start laughing. I see romance in their future. Noah watches as Peyton runs over to Caitlin.
So, how did I do?
He asks when he turns back to me. You did well. You released too early on a few plays, but that is just a matter of you and your receiver getting your timing down. You guys just need to practice your routes, and you'll be fine.
Wow, this is so cool getting tips from you. Noah, what did I say?
Noah freezes when Josie speaks. I look at her. Her face is stern and determined. She's not walking toward us. She's stomping.
Liam was just giving me advice.
Josie barely makes eye contact with me, and I realize this is going to get ugly. Her expression tells me everything I need to know. She's not going to let me see Noah.
Go to the car, Noah, now!
Josie points, much like those mothers we used to make fun of when we were younger. I don't move a muscle. I wait until Noah is far enough away before I move toward her.
Don't come any closer, Liam. I mean it. I don't know what game you're playing, but it stops now, and I want you gone. You need to leave and just forget about Noah. What the hell are you talking about? He asked me to come, and I said I would. I would have been here the whole time if I knew, but I didn't. So don't come at me with this bullshit game, Josie. You kept him from me, and yeah, I get that you couldn't get a hold of me on my cell, but there were other ways. Get off your high horse, Josephine, because if you fall, it won't be pretty. I stuff my hands into my pocket and walk away. I didn't want to blow up at her, but she egged me on.
I tried!
I stop and turn around.
Is that so? Yeah, it is.
She stands with hands on her hips, and I know she's full of shit. I'm sure you did.
Chapter 14. Josie. Watching his backside as he retreats should be second nature for me. This isn't the first time he's walked away from me, and likely won't be the last. If I'm lucky, he'll be gone for another 10 years, and I won't have to deal with him anymore. He frustrates me to no end with his cocky ass, I don't give a shit attitude. Doesn't he know he's messing with my kid? He knows he has no intentions on staying and playing makeup daddy, so why is he even trying now? Why can't he just go back to wherever it is that he came from and leave us the hell alone? You're going to break your fingernails if you clutch your hands any tighter. Caitlin smirks at me as she walks by. Peyton turns and gives me a dirty look. Lovely. So she heard me tell Liam to get out of town. I know she asked him to watch football with her, but seriously, Caitlin should want her as far away from Liam as possible. Stop taking his side, I say as I stalk behind Caitlin. I'm a coward and say it to her back because I don't want to see her disappointed look. Noah is already in the back seat when I climb into my car. He stares at the window, avoiding eye contact. His arms are crossed over his chest as he sighs repeatedly. I'm not changing my mind. I don't care how long he ignores me for. We have to sit and wait for Nick to get done talking with parents. I seethe when I see Candy Appleton touch Nick's arm. She's always wanted what's mine. First Liam, and now Nick. I press the horn, alerting him that I'm waiting. I'm in no mood to sit in this parking lot while they make goo-goo eyes at each other.
What's your problem?
Nick asks when he finally gets into the car. I should have walked home. I thought about it. I could have used the time to cool off and get my thoughts together.
She's mad because I was talking to Liam.
Noah blurts out, causing Nick to look at me. Noah, be quiet, I say through clenched teeth. I'm trying not to cry over this bullshit with Liam and Noah. I am. I'm trying to be strong and hold my ground. He's been gone for 10 years, and he can't just show up here and act like nothing is wrong.
What's going on?
Nick asks in his quiet and calming doctor tone. It's driving me nuts. I want him to tell Noah that he can't talk to Liam. I need him to back me up on this. But he doesn't. He just starts the car and backs out of the parking lot.
You going to talk to me?
He asks. I shake my head, staring out the window at the passing storefronts. Merchants are out decorating for the fall, and I realize I haven't. I need to. I can't be lacking when my store is prominent on Main Street. Drop me off at the shop, please, I ask without looking at Nick. He reaches for my hand. I let him hold it, but don't hold his. I'm too pissed, and the last thing I want is to be coddled.
Josie?
Don't Josie me. I need to go to work. I should have never taken the day off. Nick doesn't respond. He just nods and drives toward my shop. When he pulls up to the curb, I jump out without saying goodbye. I know I'll regret my attitude later, but right now I'm pissed that no one is on my side. The fragrant smell of flowers overpowers me when I open the door. I forgot to leave the fan on when I left the other night and wonder how many flowers are ruined as a result. Ruined by everything that is Liam because he showed up here, in my shop. My one place that has nothing to do with him. And now it's tainted. I turn on only the backlight, hoping to avoid people coming in. Regardless of the sign saying closed, locals will still come in and visit. They like to talk, drink coffee, and tell me their life stories, while I trim and prepare bouquets. The crunching of glass reminds me of Liam again. It seems that no matter where I turn, he's there, interrupting my life, creating havoc in his path. Who knew his return would cause me so much turmoil? Even Caitlin has opened her arms to him like the last 10 years haven't mattered. Nick only wants him to sign his rights away, and Noah wants Liam to be his best friend. And I want... I don't know what I want, except for everything to go back to the way it was 2 weeks ago, when Mason was walking in here on Monday morning ordering flowers for his wife. Once the glass is cleaned, I turn on my iPod and get to work starting on my window displays to create the perfect fall image, lining my window with mums and cornstalk. I'll have to remember to ask Noah, if he's talking to me, if he can make me a scarecrow. I add bushels of dried lavender to give the window just a bit more color. Not everything has to be red and gold. Propping the door open for fresh air, I decide the steps need mums and cornstalks, too. I need to keep busy or I'm going to start thinking about Liam and Noah and Nick. I stop dead in my tracks. How can Liam come to my mind over Nick when he's been there since Noah was 3? How does he become third in my thought process? It's simple. He shouldn't. He's so much more of a man than Liam. He's smart and educated, accelerating through college to open his small practice to give back to the community. He's the type of man someone thinks about first, not last.
Need some help?
I don't turn around because I know that voice. I'll never forget that voice, whether he's yelling or whispering into my ear. It's the same one that haunts my dreams, turning them into nightmares lately. I don't need anything from you, Liam. I tie the last of the stalks into the metal hooks on the facade. They'll hold as long as we don't have some freak windstorm. But then again, Liam did blow into town without any warning.
I just want to talk, Josie. We can be adults about this.
The moment I turn around, I wish I hadn't. For the first time, I'm really looking at him. All of him. His arms are bare, and I can finally see his tattoos. Not that I was trying to earlier, but I've been curious. I focus on them before granting my eyes permission to take in the rest of him. His arms are still defined, just like in high school, but probably more now. His jeans, distressed and likely expensive, not the Levi's he wore when we dated, hang loose on his waist. Even with a belt, they look as if they might fall down if he isn't careful. He looks at me when my eyes reach his, and smirks. But not with the smug intent from before. He knows I'm checking him out, and he's allowing me to do so without calling me out on my bullshit. I've never thought tattoos were sexy, but staring at Liam now, I wonder if he has any that I can't see. And I want to ask him what they all mean. Do you have... I trail off. That question is crossing a line that I'm not willing to step over.
Do I what?
Nothing. Never mind, I say, shaking my head. I walk up the stairs and leave him standing on the sidewalk. I kick the door shut, effectively shutting him out.
Josie,
he says so softly I almost allow my heart to break. I miss that voice, and now it's here, banging in my head. I just want to scream and tell it to move out.
I'm sorry for earlier, and I wanted to ask you about something you said.
I push my hands into my hair while he speaks to my back. When he touches me, I want to melt and crawl into his arms. But that is the old me. This me turns and looks at him with nothing but anger and hatred in my eyes. And he knows it because he steps back and shakes his head. I raise my eyebrow, indicating he can continue. He takes a deep breath and looks at me before staring at the ground. He plays with his lip, and I fight every urge I have to take his hand away from his mouth and lock his fingers with mine, just like I used to.
You said you tried to tell me about Noah. I know I changed my number, and that was a shit thing to do. But you said you tried, and I'd like to know how.
Why should I tell you? I cross my arms over my chest defiantly.
I'm asking you to give me a chance here, Jojo. I know I screwed up, but you weren't fucking there, so you don't have a clue what I was going through.
Liam starts pacing and pulling at what little hair he has.
The stress and being alone. I just...
Cheated? I interrupt. His head snaps up in my direction, and I know the answer before he even has to say the words.
Never,
he whispers.
I would have never disrespected you like that. When we were together, I never even looked at another girl the way I looked at you.
You left me. I obviously wasn't enough for you.
My God, are you even listening to yourself? It wasn't about you. It was about me and this change I went through.
I would have thought you could have come up with something better than that, given that you are such a genius with words. Why didn't you just tell me you weren't happy?
Because it wasn't like that. I felt like I was suffocating.
Chapter 15. Liam. I didn't want to tell her like this because I knew I wouldn't be able to handle the picture in front of me. Her eyes drop, she steps back, and her chest starts moving in and out as she tries to catch her breath. My heart breaks at this sight, worse than the night when I broke up with her. That night, I took the coward route.
I'm glad you're here. You must be tired.
Her hand finds mine. She tries to pull me into her dorm room, but I'm not budging.
You don't want to come in?
I do, but I can't. If I go in, I'll never leave, and nothing will change. My life will be the same pattern over and over again, and if I don't change it, I'm going to go nuts. I shake my head, just slightly, but it's enough to pique her attention.
Something wrong, Liam?
My throat starts to close, my heart, it feels like it's about to burst out of my chest. I know I'm doing the right thing, but why does it feel so horrible? I dropped out of school. The first look of what is about to be a hissy fit spreads across her face. I deviated from the plan. The All-American plan where I become an NFL football player, and we live in a quiet neighborhood raising our two children, a boy and a girl, and she travels to my games and never misses one because she's my personal cheerleader.
Okay? Why?
I can't
what? You're scaring me, baby. Come in, and we'll talk about it. We'll call your coach and fix this.
I feel a sense of relief wash over me when she says we'll call my coach. That is exactly what I don't want, and I know I've made the right decision. I don't want to play football anymore. I can't be with you anymore, Josephine. I don't look at her when I say these words. I turn and walk away, ignoring her voice as she calls my name. I run down the hall, zigzagging through the people that just witnessed my girl and I break up. I want to step forward and wrap her in my arms and tell her that night I made the biggest mistake of my life when I left her there. I should have busted in and packed her bags and taken her with me. The 2-day drive to Los Angeles would have been so much better with her curled up in my arms at night while we slept in the bed of the truck. My breakfast of Doritos and Coke would have been the best one I ever had, because she would have shared it with me. But instead, I spent 2 days driving with tears streaking down my face because I did the most horrible thing I had ever done. I broke my own heart when I told her I was done. Jojo. She puts her hand up, and I stop talking. When she looks up, it's that night all over again. Her makeup is running down her face, black and heavy, leaving a path of pain ruining her beauty.
What was so important that you just left me?
I sigh. I'm not sure how to explain Betty and the day that changed my life. I told you, I needed something different.
It wasn't me?
No. I shake my head to emphasize my point. It wasn't you. It was never you. I hate myself for not taking you with me. I should have, but I didn't think you'd go. And I didn't want you to tell me no.
So you just break my heart and leave me to raise a baby by myself?
God damn it, Jojo. If I knew about the baby, I would have stayed and figured something out. I would have married you and gone back to school.
But you wouldn't have been happy?
I can't answer her, and she knows that. My silence is enough. Josie takes a deep breath and nods.
So you went to California and became this big-time musician. You know what the funny thing is? I didn't think you liked the guitar that much. I know you would play while singing to me, but I thought you were always kidding. That sort of makes me a shitty girlfriend.
You didn't think I was good? She shakes her head.
No, it's not that. I just thought it was a joke to you. Something you did to irritate your dad.
I always played. It made me calm and helped me express what I was feeling. When I went off to college, I played more and more. I went to an open mic night on campus and played. I loved it. Loved every damn second of it. And I tried to tell you, but you weren't listening. You just wanted to talk about football and your classes and how Mason and Caitlin were doing. You wouldn't listen to me when I tried to tell you my head was going to explode, and that I woke up each night with my heart racing because I was so freaking lonely and hated school. My three best friends were at a different school, and I was states away with no one. Josie leans against the counter, watching me. It's the first time that she's actually looked at me and not had a scowl on her face. Her tear-streaked face is beautiful. I want to wipe away her tears. I want to take the last 10 years and erase them. I want to start over. Look, I just came here to discuss Noah. But we got a little off track, and I hate to see you cry.
You do?
She looks up, as if this is some joke for me. I can't help but smile at how innocent she looks. Just because I left that night doesn't mean things changed for me. Surprise rolls over her face. She stares at me, probably wondering if I'm telling the truth. I am, but that is as close as I'm going to get to admitting it. I have a gig down at Ralph's, so I better get going. I'll see you later, Jojo. I hesitate before turning away. I'd give anything to feel her arms around me, to hear her tell me to kick ass just one more time, to have her lips touch mine, even if it's only for a moment. It would be enough to last me another 10 years. The parking lot is full when I arrive at Ralph's. We ran into each other the other night at the store, and he asked me to do him a favor. I couldn't really say no, since he used to buy our beer for us. Besides, what's a little pub-time gig amongst friends? With my guitar strapped on my back, I throw open the door. The crowd is small and perfect. Ralph sees me and comes around the bar to encase me in his large arms. Thank you so much, Liam. He pats me on the back. His grin is thanks enough. Anything for you. But, didn't you advertise?
Yeah, I did.
He says, scratching his head. But everyone thought I was jerking their chains. I start laughing. That's the funniest shit I've heard in a long time. It's good. We'll have a good time. I follow Ralph to the bar and enjoy a few legal beers with him for the first time ever. People mill around, ignoring me, and I like it. A few stop by and say hi, but they're talking to Liam Westbury, not Paige. Ralph tells me that he found himself a missus, and that he's all domesticated now. I find that hard to believe, but congratulate him. He invites me over for dinner, and it hits me that my time here is almost over. I tell him maybe some other time because I've got to head back on Monday. His face is pensive, but he tells me he understands, with me being a big-time musician and all. I wish I understood. I finally take to the small stage. Me, my guitar, a stool, and a bottle of Bud. There aren't lights shining in my face, no screaming girls throwing their underwear at me. My band is not behind me complaining about the sound, and when I look off to the left of the stage, there is no one standing waiting for me to put on the perfect show. It's just me, in a pub with 100 people or so. Ralph dims the lights, and I see a few cameras come out. The flash blinds me, but I'm used to it. So, I'm Liam Paige. The crowd was quiet until I spoke. A few of the patrons catcall, others whistle, and this reminds me why I get up on stage night after night. I love this feeling. I love the moment when my finger strums my guitar for the first chord on a song that I wrote, and the crowd goes wild. I love looking out and seeing people sing my songs as if they were their own. As I play, people pair off and dance. This is the first time in years that I've done a solo set in a pub, and I remember why I like it so much. The fans are involved. They're part of the show. The longer my set, the more show up. Ralph is doing a great business tonight, and is keeping me supplied with a steady amount of beer, even though he's taking away half-empty bottles. Someone yells that she loves me. I say, thanks. Never will I or have I told fans that I love them, even with something as innocent as this. I've only loved one person in my life, and those words are saved for my girl, and now my son. Sitting up here, I realize I want to be a dad to Noah. I want him to see me like this, and know there's more to life than just football. He can be an artist, a musician, or even live under a bridge, and I'd still support his decision, if he'll let me. When I look up, Ralph is hugging someone, and standing next to them is the redhead I saw Josie with at her shop the other day. When Ralph moves back, it's Josie that he's hugging. She stays in the back. I can barely make her out in the darkness, but I can feel her. She lives in my skin. This song, I just wrote it so you guys are the first ones to hear it. I apologize if it's a little rough. I look out, hoping she'll show her face to me. I sing the first verse in her direction, my eyes trained on the last location that I saw her. My second verse rips through me, opening so many wounds. Arms of a stranger, a warm-blooded kiss, trying to fill the void of the one that I miss. Perfume whispers, lashes and lace, but I can only hear your voice. I'm so out of place. All these painkillers, that's all they are. Painkillers. I finish the last riff, unable to look at the back of the room to see if she's still standing there. This song was for her, a way for me to tell her without having to say the words, what I am without her.
Chapter 16. Josie. I went to see Liam sing at the pub 2 nights ago. 2 nights, but I haven't been able to stop thinking about him. Listening to him sing, even if the words were telling me about his life, made me want to rush the stage and pull him tight in my arms. But the song wasn't for me. He was performing for his fans, giving them the Liam Page that they love. On that stage, that wasn't my Liam. He was someone I don't know. I did the unthinkable after seeing him play. I downloaded his albums and listened to them straight through. Some songs made me cry. Some made me laugh. A few of them made me so angry. Listening to him sing about lost love. The love that he threw away like it meant nothing. He had no right telling the world about us. It's like he was telling me he's sorry without having to look me in the face. I'll see him today, and I don't know what to say or how to act. Do I pretend that I wasn't at his show on Friday? Act like I don't care? Or will he know? Did Ralph tell him? I'm confident that he didn't see me since I stayed in the back with Jenna. We listened to 2 songs before I had had enough and needed to leave. I couldn't watch him up there. I couldn't pretend that he didn't affect me. And worst of all, Jenna knew. She looked at me with such sad eyes and held my hand as we walked out of the pub. She didn't ask. All she said was Noah's name. And I broke down. I miss Liam, and I don't want to. I'm with Nick. He loves me. We're going to get married and maybe have a baby together. That's the plan. We live together, even though I never asked him to move in. He sort of stopped staying at his own place. We didn't discuss it. I was afraid if I said something, he'd leave me, like Liam did. So why is my heart telling me to give Liam a chance? I rest my head on the window as we drive to Caitlin's. She asked that we all come over and treat this Sunday the same as we always have. Last week, we didn't watch football. We mourned. Honestly, I'm in no mood to celebrate with stupid touchdown dances and cocktail weenies. Nick drives with one hand and slips his other into mine. his thumb caressing mine. For a fleeting moment, I remember what it was like when Liam held my hand. Yesterday, Liam Westbury asked me to homecoming. He said he'd call me last night, but he didn't. I'm prepared for him to tell me he's joking, or that he decided to go with Candy Appleton because she'll put out. I mean, that's what boys want, right? They're looking for something easy so they can say they did it. Well, I'm not going to do it with Liam Westbury, so if that's why he asked me, he's got another thing coming. I take deep, calming breaths. I'm going to be late for homeroom, but I don't care. Liam is in there, and I don't really want to see him right now. My mom was right. A boy like Liam Westbury wants nothing to do with a girl like me. I'm from the wrong side of Beaumont. I slam my locker shut and turn, smashing right into a wall of body. I step back and look up. Liam's peering down at me, his eyes full of life. He pulls my hand into his and leads us to the double doors. I'm no longer going to be late. I'm officially skipping my first class so Liam can break my heart. At least I technically only had half a day to get used to the idea of dancing with him. Liam pushes the heavy metal doors open, his grip on my hand tightening. He takes us to the football field. Oh, God, he wants to make out under the bleachers. Do I want this? If I don't, maybe he'll tell me he can't go to the dance with me. I wish I had talked to Caitlin about this before she ran off with Mason. I know they are close to doing it. She talks about it all the time. But I don't think I want to do it just yet. We bypass the football field and head toward the baseball field. He wants to do it in the dugout. I guess that's better than behind the bleachers because at least there's a bench I can lay on. He pulls us around the back of the dugout, away from view of the school. I know what he wants now. I look down and wonder if I'll get grass stains on my knees. His free hand cups my face, and I guess I should be happy he wants to at least kiss me first. Or maybe this is some type of tongue test. Oh, how I wish I could call Caitlin right now.
Why are you hiding?
I shake my head, pushing my face into his hand more. He's still holding my other hand, probably trying to prevent me from leaving.
You're too beautiful to hide, Josie.
I'm not ready, I blurt out. I cover my mouth as my eyes go wide. He's confused by my outburst and shakes his head.
I just want to talk,
he says.
I'm sorry for not calling last night. My father was on my case, and by the time he was done and I finished my homework, it was after 9, and I didn't want to disturb your parents if they were sleeping.
I think I'm in love.
If I knew all I had to do was hold your hand to make you smile, I would have done this yesterday.
I didn't mean to smile, but thinking about how awkward I was with Liam, I can't help it. He was so understanding and caring. I sit up straight and give Nick my best reassuring smile. I'm not going to be able to blame my mood on Mason for much longer. Sooner or later, he's going to start asking questions. Questions that lead to answers that I'm not ready to hear or accept. When we pull into Caitlin's driveway, Liam's motorcycle sits in the carport. I close my eyes and wonder what it would be like to get on the back, to lean forward and press my chest against him and wrap my arms around his waist. A knock on the window startles me.
You coming in?
Nick asks before I can open the door. When I step out, he pulls my hand into his.
Are you okay?
Yeah, I'm fine, I say as I lead us into the house. I'm not prepared for what I find inside. Noah runs past me, my son who hasn't spoken to me since Friday, right up to Liam and shows him his Sports Illustrated. The sight of Liam sitting there on the couch, dressed in a football jersey with Peyton next to him, and my son standing there eager to show him something in a magazine, is nothing compared to Liam leaning forward and forgetting about the game, just so he can talk to Noah. I run off to the bathroom before Nick can see my tears. I'm not being fair to him. Never have I complained about Liam not being in Noah's life, and now that he's here, I want it. I want to see Noah happy and be able to say he has a dad, but I also know Nick wants that title. He might deserve the role, but maybe I owe Liam the opportunity to let Noah make that choice. When I come back to the living room, the scene is comical. Liam has all the kids around him and Nick is sitting by himself. I try not to laugh as I take a seat next to Nick. Liam watches me out of the corner of his eye and smirks when Nick puts his arm around me. He full-out smiles when he sees Nick pulling me close, and I know Nick is wondering why I'm rigid and didn't just fall into the crook of his arm.
Well, I hate to break up this party, but I promised Miss Peyton we'd watch at least one game downstairs.
Liam says, causing Peyton to jump and Noah's face to fall. Liam leans over and whispers something into Noah's ear, and he smiles. Seeing Noah's face light up, I realize that I need to put my anger aside and do what's right for my son and give Liam a chance. My decision will hurt Nick, but it's something that I need to do for Noah.
Chapter 17. Liam. Peyton and I watch an action-packed game that goes into overtime. I still can't get over the fact she knows the calls better than half of the officials. She has me cracking up. She's extremely vocal and holds her position well. "Are you going to play football?" I ask her, curious whether this is something she and Mason discussed.
"Well, I'm not going to be a cheerleader like my mama was."
Her response effectively shuts my mouth. Mason loved having Caitlin on the sidelines for his games, and I admit it was sweet pleasure having my girl cheer for me. The best part was the away games. The cheerleaders would ride back with us. Josie and I always sat in back where it was darkest. My lips never left a part of her body until we pulled into the school parking lot. Elle comes down, dressed the exact opposite of her sister. These girls are a spitting image of their parents.
"Mommy says it's time for lunch."
She turns and runs up the stairs, not waiting for an answer. "What do you think? Should we head up for some grub?" Peyton climbs onto my back. I hoist her up and run around their basement like a crazed man, just so I can listen to her laugh.
"Can we do this again next Sunday?"
I stop running and pull her around to rest on my hip. "I gotta head back to work, but maybe we can watch the game together on the computer."
"I don't have a computer."
"I'm not going to let that stop me." I kiss her cheek and tell her not to worry about it. When we get upstairs, everyone has congregated in the living room for lunch. Caitlin made just about every football food known to man. Peyton and I fix our plates and join everyone for the next game. Noah's sitting on the floor, so I sit down next to him. I notice that he smiles, but I'm not going to call attention to it. I told him after I watched the game with Peyton, we'd go out back and work on his pass route timing. I'd like to find a way to prolong my day with him, but I know Josie isn't going to let me. I still need to sit down and talk to her about Noah and some type of visitation. Maybe we start with phone calls every few nights, and I can come back to see him every month. More importantly, we need to tell him that I'm his dad, whether Josie wants to or not. I can imagine he's going to be hurt and probably hit my guts, but I'll do whatever I can to make it up to him. Not being a part of his life is not an option for me. Not being a part of his life is not an option for me. Noah's plate is empty, so I take mine and his into the kitchen to throw them away. Josie comes in behind me, her perfume weaving its way into my senses. I hate that she can smell so fucking good at Sunday football, and I can't touch her.
"Hey," she says, shocking me. I thought for sure we were playing the avoidance game.
"Hi," I reply, barely looking at her. I pretend to clean, the ultimate chick move in avoiding an awkward conversation. She just stares at me, her hands pulling desperately at her belt loops. I can't stand here and look at her, so I call for Noah and ask if he's ready to go outside. He runs up to me, football in hand, and races me to the door. I take one last look at her, her head down, teeth pushing a deep dent in her bottom lip, before heading outside. I teach Noah everything I know. I'm surprised I even remember half of this shit, but it all comes back to me with each question he asks. I realize how lucky Nick is, living the life that should have been mine. He's got my girl and my boy,
and there isn't jack shit I can do about it except watch from the sidelines.
Can you come to my game on Friday?
Noah asks, with such hope in his voice. Just looking at him tears my heart into pieces. Let's go sit down, I say, as I set my hand on his shoulder and bring him over to the picnic bench. You know that I live in Los Angeles, right? Noah nods. Well, I have to go back to work. I have deadlines, and people are depending on me. I was supposed to just be here for the funeral and leave the next day. But then I met you, and I really like hanging out with you, and Peyton asked me to watch football, so I stayed. I tell myself I'm leaving tomorrow, and I need to do something first. But then I gotta head back to my cat, you know, because he misses me.
But he hates you.
Yeah, buddy, he does. I start to laugh. Noah joins in. When his blue eyes look up at me, I know I need to make this right.
I'm kinda hoping I can talk to your mom, and maybe we can talk on the phone or something. She'll say no. She hates you or something. Says I'm not supposed to talk to you. I did today because she won't yell in front of Caitlin.
Listening to my son tell me that my girl, his mother, hates me, really doesn't sit well with me. I need to fix it. I'll talk to your mom, okay? Just don't be hard on her. She lost her friend, and sometimes memories are hard to deal with. He nods, and when he looks at me, a piece of me dies. I don't want to leave him, even if he never knows I'm his dad. I want to be his friend. We both look up when the sliding glass door opens. Josie steps out with her arms wrapped around her body. Her eyes are red. She's been crying. I want to ask her why, but I also don't want to care. I should, but I can't. She has Nick, and I need to accept that. I guess it's time for you to go, I say to Noah, who looks like he's about to throw the football at his mom.
Actually, she says as she steps closer, I was wondering if you wanted to have dinner with me and Noah tomorrow at our house.
I look past her, into the living room where Nick is talking animatedly with Caitlin. No thanks, I say, much to Noah's chagrin. I hold my hand up for him to stop. I'm not a fan of Nick's. I'm not sure I can make it through dinner with him. Josie turns and looks into the house, and when she turns around, she's shaking her head.
Nick is going away tomorrow for a conference. It will just be me and Noah.
No Nick. My girl, my son, and me? Sign me up. What time?
How about 5:30? I close the shop at 5 and walk home.
I'll pick you up, I say, before really thinking about it. I only have the Ducati and one helmet. Guess I'm shopping for that tomorrow. Josie tries to hide her elation, but her face tells me everything I need to know. She's fantasized about being on the bike with me, and I'm about to make her fantasy come true. So I guess I'll see you, I say to Noah. This makes him smile. I get up and walk the few steps to Josie. I'm closer than I should be, especially with Nick inside the house. I lean in, my lips grazing her cheek. You'll love the ride, I promise, I whisper into her ear. As much as I want to see her expression, touching her has killed me. I move away as quickly as I can and back into the house. I fire up my bike, revving the engine so she gets an idea of what she's in for tomorrow, and take off. Her scent lingers on my skin, filling my helmet. I'm not sure how I'll handle Josie on the back of my bike tomorrow, but it will be my 5 minutes of paradise.
Chapter 18. Josie. My palms are sweating. I'm watching the clock. The minute hand is moving ungodly slow. Every tick echoes throughout the shop. I sent Jenna home early because she kept laughing at me, and none of this is funny. I would have called and told him that I'd walk home, but I don't have his number, and it's not like I can call directory assistance for Liam Page's freaking number. They'd laugh at me just like Jenna has all day. Except they would probably cackle, because directory service is usually old women who have nothing better to do except give people like me a hard time when you ask for something totally and completely stupid. Oh, God. This is like high school all over again. Every time I heard a motorcycle outside, I ran to the window. And when Jenna snickered, I pretended to straighten something out. I hate her today. I wipe my hands on my jeans for the millionth time. He should be here any moment, and I'll tell him I can't ride with them because I have no helmet, and those are required. And even if they weren't, I wouldn't get on that death trap. He might kill me for keeping Noah from him. I mean, that seems logical, right? The door chimes, and before I can turn and greet the customer, I smell his cologne. I take a deep breath before turning around. I don't know why, but this feels like a date when it's so not a date. I mean, I'm engaged to another man, and we're going to get married, and I can't date Liam regardless of our history. I need to turn off my brain. When I finally lay my eyes on him, he's delicious. All 6 feet of him. He's not wearing the black leather jacket I've grown accustomed to, and once again I find myself staring at his arms. My mind wanders up his left arm, and then his right. My fingers want to reach out and trace the ink. My heart wants to know if they hurt, if he wants more. He's allowing me to stare at him, drink him in, and I think I realize that this might be the last time I see him. He may not want to tell Noah that he's his dad. Hell, he may not want to even know Noah past this trip. I'm not sure I want that.
Are you ready, Jojo?
My heart soars, and it shouldn't. I should tell him not to call me that, but I don't. He's watching my every move, waiting for me to freak out on him. I can walk, I mumble. Liam rolls his eyes and shakes his head. When he reaches for my hand, I let him take it. As soon as he touches me, it's like 1,000 butterflies fluttering over my skin. I haven't felt this way in years. I take 2 steps toward him, leaving just a small space between us. In a few short minutes, I'll be touching him, and I may not want to stop. My mind is foggy, but I need to keep my senses clear. I remind myself that I'm an engaged woman. The man before me, this sexy, beautiful man, who is taking my hand in his like he's done so many times before, is the same man that broke my heart. He lets go of my hand as soon as we're outside. I want to reach for him, but I know it's not the right thing to do. He holds a helmet in his hand and smiles when he shows it to me.
I got this for you,
he says before slipping it over my head. He's still smiling when he fixes my hair on the outside. I'm smiling too, but he can't see me.
Where do you live?
I give him my address and watch as he swings his leg over and straddles his bike.
Put your hand on my shoulder and bring your leg over.
I do as he says. Once I'm situated, he puts on his helmet and starts his bike. The vibration sends chills up my spine, and I know now why women love a man with a motorcycle. He reaches behind and pulls my hands forward, wrapping them around his torso. My front is pressed up against his back, and this is just like I imagined it would be. I rest my chin, as much as I can, on his shoulder, and I can feel his body relax before putting his bike into gear. He drives down Main Street, maintaining the speed limit, taking each turn to my house with ease. I never thought I'd feel so safe on a motorcycle. He pulls into the driveway and turns off the bike. He removes his helmet and helps me get off first. When I pull off my helmet, he starts laughing and shaking his head. "What the hell is your problem?" I ask as I start patting down my hair. This just proves why I should never wear a helmet.
Nothing. I've just imagined you a million times sitting behind me. But never did I imagine you'd flip your hair back and forth when you took off the helmet.
You've imagined me on your bike? I ask, my voice barely above a whisper. He nods and puts the kickstand down so he can get off.
You're the first girl I've ever let ride with me.
He steps closer. His fingers move a strand of hair away from my face, curling it behind my ear.
The only one, Jojo.
He steps away, giving me some much-needed space. I need to understand what just happened. He follows me into the house, through the door leading to the kitchen and dining room. He looks around, taking in my small home. Nick says we can move after we're married, but Noah and I have lived here since I left school. Not sure I want to move just yet. Noah comes running out of his room and hugs Liam. I leave them to have their moment and move into the kitchen and start preparing dinner. I made most of it last night so Liam could spend as much time as possible with Noah. Noah, did you finish your homework?
No. Can I finish it after Liam leaves?
Can I see your homework? Maybe I can help.
Noah runs up to his room, his footsteps heavy and solid.
Hey, Noah!
I yell.
Yeah?
Why don't you play a game or something for a few minutes? I need to talk to Liam.
Okay.
He yells back. The TV turns on instantly, loud with some auto-racing game.
Thank you for this, Josie.
I smile and nod, not sure how to respond.
I'm supposed to leave tomorrow, but Noah says he has a game on Friday, and I really don't want to miss it.
I turn on the oven and place dinner inside to heat up. I motion for Liam to sit at the table. He pulls out my chair for me, something Nick has never done. I sit down, clasping my hands in front of me.
Did you really not know?
I ask. I hate asking, but I need to know. Liam shakes his head, his eyes focusing on something, anything but me. When he meets my eyes, I can see the pain. He's telling the truth. I found your agent or whatever and called. I start, hating that I have to relive this time of my life. A time when I felt so desperate to reach him, when I needed him the most, and he wasn't there. I left message after message until someone finally called back and said that you told them that you didn't know me. Liam reaches for my hand. He pulls it to his forehead.
I didn't know. I would have come home and done things the right way.
Noah doesn't know. He knows that Nick isn't his dad, but sometimes it's just easier for him to tell people that he is. I don't want him hurt, Liam, and I'm afraid that if I let this happen, you'll disappear tomorrow.
I won't. I know my word is shit to you, but I'll do anything to prove it. I want to be his dad. He's supposed to be ours, Jojo. And I fucked that up.
I can't keep the tears at bay when he says things like this. No wonder he's a freaking songwriter and makes millions of women fall in love with his music. We can tell him tonight, if you want.
I want to, but...
No, Liam. No buts. I just told you I don't want him hurt.
It's not like that. I have to go back to L.A., and I was going to leave tomorrow. But he asked me to come to his game, so I cleared my schedule for the week so I can stay and see him play. I'll have to go back for work. But once he knows, I can come back once a month to see him. We can figure out the rest from there.
I knew his lifestyle would dictate how much of a dad he was going to be. I'm not sure if I thought he'd move back here or not. I know, I say softly. I want to say what about me, but I have Nick, and he's been really great to me and Noah. I'll go get Noah so he can start hating me. Liam reaches for my hand, pulling me back down.
He won't hate you. I won't allow it.
I nod and release his hand. I take a moment to compose myself before calling for Noah. He comes thundering down with a smile on his face. He looks just like Liam when he smiles. Liam looks up when we walk into the room. If I didn't know better, I'd think that he'd been crying. We sit down, Noah in between us. He looks at Liam, then me, smiling. We've got something to tell you.
Chapter 19. Liam. Okay, Noah says. I can feel his leg start to swing under the table. Reaching down, I set my hand on his knee, calming his jitters. Josie shifts in the chair, leaning closer to Noah. I do the same thing, although I'm not sure why. I look at her and raise my eyebrow. We didn't discuss who was going to tell him. I think it should be her. I can't see myself blurting out that I'm his dad. My luck, it would come out like Darth Vader, minus the respiratory issues. Josie clears her throat and smiles at Noah.
Remember when you asked me if Liam was my boyfriend?
Noah nods. His leg starts up again. I realize I'm not